Yeah. His glasses are. So have you seen the guy himself, or is this just his glasses?
Yeah, right. I got tired. Let's go.
All right, let's get started. Council, please come to order. Carla, would you call the roll?
Novick?
Here.
Fritz?
Here.
Ish?
Here.
Saltzman? Hales?
Here. I believe Commissioner Saltzman's going to be joining us. Okay, let's move to item 1018.
Consider the proposal of Don Goldberg of the Trust for Public Lands and the recommendations from the hearings officer for approval to change the comprehensive plan map designation from open space to industrial sanctuary and the zoning map designation from open space to IG2, general industrial 2, for the northern parcel and a zoning map amendment to modify environmental protection and environmental conservation overlay zones on the site known as the Colwood National Golf Course in the vicinity of Northeast Alderwood Road and Northeast Cornfoot Road, LU12-213-885-CPZCEN.
I understand we need to, you want to read both items and then reopen the record?
Item 1019, amend the comprehensive plan map designation and change zoning of property in the vicinity of Northeast Alderwood Road and Northeast Cornfoot Road, the northern portion of the site known as the Colwood National Golf Course property, at the request of Don Goldberg of the Trust for Public Lands, LU12-213-885-CPZCEN.
Okay, and I understand we need to reopen the record and take in these letters and take testimony on those. Is that correct, Lynn?
I believe staff is going to address that first with some introductory remarks. And I believe Commissioner Fish, who was not here at the last hearing, is that correct? You were here?
You
were here? Okay, maybe I'm talking about another one. Your staff had called, so you were here? Good.
Yep.
All right, so I think you just need to hear from staff, and then you're going to open the record to allow a couple of letters and some testimony on a narrow issue.
Okay, great. Sheila, come on up.
Good afternoon. I'm Sheila Fergoli. As a brief recap, on September 25th, you heard extensive testimony on the ordinance to amend the comprehensive plan map designation and zoning on the property known as the Colwood Golf Course. At the end of the hearing, you tentatively approved the request. However, in response to concerns raised by the Sumner Neighborhood Association regarding required transportation mitigation improvements, you directed transportation staff to attend a Sumner Neighborhood Association meeting. That meeting occurred on October 8th. With your consent, I suggest you accept additional testimony from the Sumner Neighborhood Association, a response from the applicant's transportation consultant, and further input from the PBOT staff. You should also ask anyone who wants to testify on this on the statements that you hear today to also be allowed to do that. Again, the testimony today should be limited to the proposed I-205 Killingsworth ramp mitigation project. After the testimony, I can come back and talk about the amendments to the ordinance and take you through the next steps.
Okay, great. I think I like that recommendation.
Mayor, I understand there may be an amendment adding an emergency clause, so presumably we take testimony on that too.
Yes, I will present that.
Okay. Now or later?
Later.
Okay. So I'm going to accept that suggestion and reopen the hearing for purposes of accepting these letters into the record, and then just call on first PBOT staff and then the Sumner Neighborhood Association.
Good afternoon, Mayor, Commissioners, Kurt Kruger with Portland Bureau of Transportation. I want to recap what had transpired since last.
Mic up just a little bit.
Last meeting, we attended the Sumner Neighborhood Association with ODOT and the Trust for Public Lands staff. We again expressed our apologies for the lack of notification to their neighborhood through this process and engaged them in a conversation around transportation issues and why we landed on the requirement for an on-ramp be added to the existing two-lane on-ramp. A number of other transportation issues were discussed, deficiencies that we'd like to correct if we had funding, but we have a limited applicant dollars to apply. And we agreed on the project at hand. A vote was taken in support of continuing to support this project, recognizing that there are some concerns around construction and livability. The applicant has proposed $10,000 of additional tree planting as mitigation. We need to coordinate with ODOT to make sure that that can happen appropriately in the state right away, but that has been provided by the applicant. One point of clarification, the Sumner Neighborhood Association raised a technical traffic issue. I've got a PowerPoint that describes that. Carla, if we can put that up. As you'll see on the slide, the applicant's traffic engineer studied a number of intersections. The two in question was intersection 15 on the west side of I-205 and 16. The Sumner neighbors identified that there appeared to be a disconnect between the number of vehicle trips leaving intersection 16 and then arriving at number 15. There were more at 15 than there were 16. The answer to why those numbers are different is, if you'll notice the middle arrow, there's traffic that's heading north on I-205 that exits an off-ramp, is added to an ad lane across Killingsworth on the overpass, then enter that intersection at 15. That's the discrepancy that was identified. It's not really a discrepancy. It was just hard to illustrate in the information provided by the applicant's consultants, but the numbers work.
Great. Thank you. Questions for Kurt?
Kurt, could you just sort of explain the traffic problem that the mitigation is designed to address?
Thank you. Right now we have a number of vehicles that queue along Killingsworth, that stack up on Killingsworth as they move through the area. The addition of the third lane on-ramp was an identified project in the regional transportation plan. This allows some of those vehicles to actually be queued on the ODOT on-ramp and not on Killingsworth. One of the benefits for this is it removes a queue that backs up through the major exit out of the Sumner neighborhood at 89th. There's a signal at 89th, and vehicles queue in that can't get out because they're backed up. In addition, at the on-ramp to I-205 southbound, vehicles that are, it's easier with the map, vehicles that are westbound on Killing, so turning left onto the southbound ramp, will tend to block that intersection because there's not enough storage space. That also affects bicycles commuting through the area.
And this all happens because the ramps are metered, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
So this will add a third lane, a third meter to that ramp. It does not solve every single transportation issue in this neighborhood.
And the additional trees are for mitigation in this area, not on the Colwood property?
Correct.
Thank you.
So between the new ramp and the neighborhood on the berm or in that right away?
That's okay. Where they've been identified. And just to be brief, this is an additional mitigation to other mitigations that are required by the applicant closer to and on the subject property.
Okay, great. Other questions for staff, for Kurt? Thank you. And is there someone here from the Sumner Neighborhood Association? Come on up, please. Welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Scott Somahano. I'm the chair of the Sumner Neighborhood Association. A couple of you already know me. I'm here to kind of present our point of view. Thank you for allowing me to come and testify today on this. And thank you to Don and Mara and Kurt for coming to talk to our Neighborhood Association on October 8th. They filled in a lot of blanks for us. Question, how long do I have to talk? Is it 3 minutes or how long?
You can take a little longer in this case. It's a land use case, and we want to make sure we've got everything on the record. So you're the Neighborhood Association.
All right.
Put some time into this.
All right. Thank you.
You bet.
So I'm going to kind of recap the letter that I put in writing for you all earlier. And so we learned a lot at the October 8 meeting. The main thing that we learned is that there were two things that changed compared to how they've handled this sort of traffic mitigation in the past. One was a new state law asking PBOT and ODOT to work together so that developers don't feel like a punching bag, and that's understandable. The other thing is that there was a Supreme Court ruling that limited the amount that developers could be asked to put on the table to mitigate their properties. Between those two things, what we had was a development, a proposal that had two firsts, that resulted in two firsts. One is the distance of the mitigation from the property is 1.5 miles away. That's unusual, and I believe that's a first. Kurt said on October 8th that it was the first time he'd seen something like that. The second first is that this is going to be the first three-lane on-ramp anywhere in Portland. ODOT has a bottleneck study that identified a whole variety of bottlenecks up and down I-5 and I-205. This on-ramp is not one of those bottlenecks. So the fact that this is going to be our first three-lane on-ramp is a little bit surprising, and I wonder if it's a little bit disproportionate compared to the need for the on-ramp. So there was that. So that was really useful information, and that alone was worth having them come visit October 8th. So the thing that I think will be important to the applicant that I'll say first before I get into the suggested change is that our neighborhood board voted to agree to work with ODOT, to work with the applicant to mitigate for livability factors if the council sees fit to approve the third lane for the on-ramp and, you know, mitigate things like safety, noise, odor, and air quality, which is a significant issue for our neighborhood. And there's an ODOT property right there that's referred to as the sand lot that is green space, one of the only green spaces that we have in our neighborhood that serves as a buffer as well as a de facto park for our neighborhood. We don't have a park, so, you know, protecting that green space is important. So that's the important thing that I want to say first before I get to the objections and our suggested alternate mitigation. The suitability of it, 4 out of the 5 criteria that we cited back in June still kind of stand. You know, they haven't really done the livability thing. There were several different approval criteria, and one of the key ones was that traffic for industrial land north of the slough should be directed to the airport way on ramps. You know, and that's, you know, and that's still not, you know, being addressed with this, among other things. The effectiveness of it, we wanted to draw attention to the fact that the Kittleson Transportation Impact Report said that the new property would generate 2,400 trips per day, and this on-ramp would handle 50 of those 2,400 trips per day. So you're talking about a mitigation proposal that would only mitigate 2% of the traffic for this rezoned property. Now, I don't know what's typical, and I don't know what's, you know, standard, but 2% doesn't sound like a whole lot of mitigation for the money that's being spent, and it doesn't really, you know, it doesn't really seem to fit. You know, so the idea that it's a mile and a half away, it's the first three-lane on-ramp, and it's only mitigating 2% of the traffic for this particular development. These things, it doesn't quite add up. Let's see. And then also related to that, I mentioned the bottleneck study for ODOT. ODOT has a whole variety of bottlenecks. This on-ramp is not one of those bottlenecks. And when they came October 8th, our neighborhood association, the residents, I didn't prompt them. They came up with this on their own, cited the northbound on-ramp as being really the bottleneck that we're talking about here. And if I get a chance, I want to share something up on the screen. I can see the mouse. So this is it's an animated GIF that I put on our website just this morning. And everyone is familiar with Google. Most everyone is familiar with Google Maps. This is a feature that I wasn't familiar with, Google Maps traffic, the traffic maps for Google. So this animated GIF shows you the most recent 5 days of traffic. The dark color, the black, shows you the, you know, the backups. And you can see the southbound, there's a mouse here. So this is the southbound on-ramp right here. Mm-hmm. And this is the backup eastbound from the property in question. And you can see, if you look at the last 5 days, the color code, you can see at the northbound ramp, you know, is backed up down Sandy Boulevard almost daily. Sometimes it's backed up, you know, east, you know, coming from westbound Sandy to that northbound on-ramp. And it's hit or miss for the southbound on-ramp. You know, we, you know, our neighborhood, we understand that this is an important industrial route. You know, we have the freeway, we have the airport, we have the train. You know, we understand it's an important area for moving freight, you know. But at the same time, you know, the data and the traffic flows and the experience of the motorists don't really back this up as being the place where we need the first three-lane on-ramp in Portland. I mean, you could probably think of your own favorite place where you'd like to see a third on-ramp lane. So So there is that part. I will concede the part about the data accuracy. I really enjoyed looking at their report because I'm a data geek. So I understand that this northbound, this loop-de-loop here from northbound to westbound does not show up in this intersection over here, and they didn't have a really good way to render that. So I accept that data correction from them. But that's, I think those are the key points. The last thing I'll mention is that just off of this map up here, there was a $16 or $18 million improvement that was put in. It's called Columbia Parkway on the map that, you know, greatly increased capacity for that section from this property down to the freeway on-ramp. Our suggested mitigation instead is for improvements at Alderwood, at Cornfoot, and 82nd. The port apparently has a proposal that just came up in the last month to put in a gas station, restaurant, convenience store at the intersection of 82nd and Alderwood. You might want to consider taking this money, because really it seems like the backup is at the signal itself, not at the on-ramp, and getting the through traffic through there. You could probably just adjust that, the timing of that signal, you know, and mitigate this. Instead of buying a new door, why not just adjust the hinge? You know, that's what we would suggest. Save the applicant money if they develop, you know, or improve 82nd at Alderwood, where the port's already planning on putting in something else that will be a significant impact on traffic at that intersection. I think that's it.
Okay. Great. Do we have something in writing from you?
Yes.
In addition?
I think it's...
Yes, this is the third letter that I've sent in. The first was in June. The second, I think, was August. And this is the third.
Scott, I think you make some compelling points. And I was concerned, remain concerned about the notification and the inclusion of you. I mean, I think your participation has made sure that ongoing with these offsite mitigations that we're now allowed to do, that will happen in a more constructive and earlier manner. If the council decides as a whole to move forward with this project today, would you be averse to an emergency clause being added?
I don't know what that means.
Oh. That means it would go into effect immediately rather than waiting 30 days as a regular ordinance.
I just kind of assumed that would sort of be the case. Kurt said, and maybe things have changed, that they didn't expect construction to begin until the spring. And Mara said that design was supposed to start like last week, the week after they came to visit. So we have committed to work with ODOT on the design during the design and during the construction phase. If that can be added as a factor, that would be great. The thing that I would mention about $10,000 worth of trees, the way that the letter was written in response to this letter, it was about $10,000 worth of trees on property controlled by the Neighborhood Association. We don't control any property. That property adjacent to the on-ramp is owned by ODOT. The whole green space next to it there, this, let's see, oh, it's not up there now. But could you share it one more time? This whole space over here, mm-hmm. this whole area, that's all ODOT property. And if we were going to get trees, and this is the mobile home park that is directly adjacent to Killingsworth and the on-ramp, this is where I would concentrate the trees. But it's ODOT property. It's not ours.
Since you have the cursor, where's the community garden that you led?
The community garden is about 5 blocks west of this here. It's on Killingsworth at 87th. Yeah, and we were just out there Saturday for Parky Diem. We had great weather for that. So any other questions or comments? I really appreciate your making a special opportunity for us to come here. I am concerned, you know, that if this becomes a new model, that we'll just get hit again and again by these different developments. You know, it was a blind side for us in terms of notification. We want a better relationship with ODOT, and we're hoping that this will help start that.
I think it has, actually, but at least I hope so. Thank you.
Thank you all very much.
For all your great work.
Great. Nice job. So we've got that in the record. We want to give the Trust for Public Lands team, particularly your transportation consultant, a chance to respond or put anything else in the record. Don, you don't have to limp up here if you don't need to. But Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, everyone.
The project's clearly taken a toll on you already.
Well, if you recall, 3 years ago, I know a couple of you weren't here. I had to get my body in here the same way for Riverview. It was right after I had surgery then, so it seems to be a habit of mine. And I appreciate
any more property.
Yeah, I'm done. And I do appreciate the Sumner neighborhood. They're very professional. They have good comments. I think it's important that we...
Oh, put your name in the record, Don.
Don Goldberg, the Trust for Public Land, 808 Southwest 3rd Avenue in Portland, Oregon. Could do that without pain pills. So I think, though, we need to separate the process of how land use is done and being able to reach out to everybody. My process here has always been to reach out to as many as possible to get as much support. And as you saw last month, it's been very successful. But not all the golfers are going to be happy, and there are always going to be some that unfortunately can't get everything they want. But we've tried to surpass all the legal requirements and to really reach out to the community. And as Scott mentioned, I don't see the future park in Cully being a community park. This is going to be hopefully a major park for the city that will be serve the Sumner neighborhood as well. And that's our goal at the Trust for Public Land, is to serve the entire outer northeast community. So I have Mr. Kittleson here, who can address some of the questions regarding traffic.
Great.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Commissioners and Mayor. My name is Wayne Kittleson. I'm the founding principal of Kittleson & Associates. Our office address is 610 Southwest Alder in Portland, Oregon. I'll try to keep this pretty brief, so if you have any specific questions that I might overlook, feel free to ask. I'll start by saying that I agree with the comments that your engineer, Kurt Kruger, provided in all respects. In response to the questions or issues raised from the neighborhood and Mr. Sonohano, a couple things. One is, I think the solution that has been proposed, or the mitigation that's been proposed, is a very effective one. I'll point out that it's addressing one of only three intersections that were found to fail in 2035, and in fact, it's the only intersection or interchange area that fails today of those three. It is basically a pretty straightforward improvement. It's not adding capacity to I-205. It's just taking the queue of vehicles that are currently queuing on Kenilworth and moving those over to the on-ramp. And in so doing, it's taking those vehicles out of the main through traffic, which reduces delay for the through traffic. It reduces accidents and accident potential. It also has, therefore, because it's part of the I-205 system, a very an important system-wide effect on the transportation system as a whole. In terms of necessity, I concur with the Portland Bureau of Transportation, with the ODOT, that it's probably the most appropriate place to place the mitigation improvements right now. It fits with the RTP. It's an existing issue. And in terms of suitability, it's dealing with a facility. It's dealing with the appropriate kinds of facilities on the major street and regional traffic ways. It's not encouraging or promoting any traffic through a neighborhood. I'll add one more thing, just a clarification or a correction to a point that Scott made earlier, and that is that there actually is a three-lane on-ramp, ramp meter in Portland, and it's on Cornell Road, entering onto Highway 26. So it's up and operating that way right now. Doesn't mean you have three lanes coming in, but you have three lanes of storage that then meter onto the freeway.
Okay, great. Thank you. Questions for Mr. Kelson? And do you want to add anything?
Yeah, Mike Cerbone, 5415 Southwest Westgate Drive, the land use planner with Cardno, Portland, Oregon. The only thing I wanted to point out is that Kurt did address in his letter to you about the $10,000. The intent is to work with ODOT to place that on ODOT's property in an appropriate place, and I think that's the intent of everyone involved.
Right.
And then the last one would just be that intersection was the intersection where the mitigation is proposed is actually one of the original study intersections that was within the TIA. So while it may seem weird that it's a mile and a half away, it was anticipated that it could be impacted by the proposed comp plan amendment, and it was studied through the process.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
So any further questions for the applicant here while we've got them?
Just one clarification. In the your letter responding to the Neighborhood Association's points with regard to the 205 Killingsworth northbound on-ramp, was your response to that point that that the proposed land use action isn't expected to have any impact on that intersection?
That's correct. We're not expecting any of the traffic from generated by this site to go through that. Not to say it's not a bottleneck or it's not an issue, but we don't. Our traffic isn't going through that because, as Scott rightly suggested, we want that traffic to go up to Airport Way. If they're heading north, they should be using the Airport Way interchange instead.
Mm. So that wouldn't have been an appropriate site for mitigation because it's not mitigation.
Well, because the project has no impact on that intersection.
It's a problem in the neighborhood, but it's not a problem precipitated by this.
That's correct, or contributed to by this project.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's good to get that clarification.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks very much.
Thank you, guys.
So, City Attorney.
So, because you've accepted testimony, reopened the record to accept testimony on the 205 Killingsworth mitigation, it would be appropriate to ask if there's anybody who wishes to testify to that very specific issue.
Good. Okay, so we have had testimony from the applicant and from the Neighborhood Association itself, but is there anyone else who'd like to testify on this new information in the record? If not, then I think we can close the public hearing again and take action.
So staff would like to get back up and walk you through
about the emergency clause.
Proposed amendments.
Yes. I knew there was a motion in someone's mind, but we ought to let the staff explain it first. Okay, Sheila.
Carla is passing out to you recommended amendments to the ordinance. Staff is recommending, if you're ready to vote affirmatively on the and give the second and final vote today, staff is recommending that you add these findings under Directive 1A of the ordinance. And this language reflects the final testimony that you heard today and the information that was conveyed. And then finally, staff suggests that you adopt this amended ordinance as an emergency so that not to delay the approved map changes. That's it.
I would move the amendments.
I actually have a question, and that is I don't see any reference in the amendments to the $10,000 in additional mitigation.
That was not added, and no additional conditions were added. The conditions that you voted on September 25th are reflected in the ordinance. This amendment sheet does not include new conditions or speak to additional requirements.
But don't we need to add that?
That's up to you as counsel.
See what Kurt suggests here.
Again, Kurt Kruger with the Portland Bureau of Transportation. Because this is ODOT right-of-way and we can't dictate what happens on ODOT right-of-way, I think we're reluctant to have a condition that says that we plant trees. The developers put that into the record. It's the developer we have here. There's a significant level of trust and commitment, both staff to work with ODOT on this issue to get these trees planted if we can find appropriate places for them.
Okay, and similarly, my understanding is that PBOT and specifically you, Kurt, have agreed to meet and collaborate with Sumner Association of Neighbors to address their concerns during design and construction, including those livability issues that were listed in Scott Sohama's letter.
That's correct. Just to remind everybody that the Oregon Transportation Commission awarded a grant of $250,000 to the City of Portland for this project that we will administer with the Trust for Public Lands, their design team. So the issues that are raised around safety, livability, noise, odor, we will do our best to work with ODOT and their contractor to minimize those impacts and keep Sumner involved along the way.
With that understanding and knowing that you do what you say you're going to do, I'm happy to accept both of those.
Okay.
I'll second Dan's amendment. Motion.
Further discussion to adopting the amendments that includes the emergency clause and these other changes to the directives. Further discussion. Roll call on the amendments.
Novick.
I want to express, you know, again, that we're sorry that the Neighborhood Association wasn't originally informed, but I really appreciate Kurt's work on this and the work the applicant has done. Actually, we should probably wait until after the amendment, but yes, I am the amendment.
Fritz.
I greatly appreciate the Sumner Association of Neighbors' constructive participation in this, putting aside the disappointment that they weren't included earlier, working with staff and being here today to testify. And so it gives me more comfort to know that you're okay with the emergency clause, and that's why I'm willing to support it. Aye.
Fish.
Yeah, I also want to call out the Sumner Association of Neighbors and the folks who testified and the final speaker, Scott Samahara. And I had the pleasure of working with Scott on a very difficult project that he brought home, and that is a community garden in his neighborhood that is hugely beneficial. And it's a very high-performing, high-capacity neighborhood association with really good leadership. And we work better when that's the case. And so thank you for all the time you put into that. And thank you, Kurt, and your team, and Don and Mara for working this out. Aye.
Saltzman?
Let's not forget BDS in that, too. Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Okay, and now we need to act on each of these in turn. So first, the hearings officer, adoption of the hearings officer's report, which I don't believe we made any modifications to. It's all to the ordinance, right?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Well, thank you very much to staff, Sheila Fragoli, Susan McKinney, who I think this is one of her final projects, everybody who's been involved in this, Trust for Public Lands and both neighborhood associations. Looking forward to seeing what happens next. We got a lot of testimony at the hearing about what happens next, and so we haven't made any decisions about what's happening next, so I want to be very clear on that, and that if I have anything to do with it as Parks Commissioner, we will definitely have a full public process to look at those issues of who, what, when, where, and how. So thank you very much for this next step in the process. Aye.
Fish?
Don, let's not wait another 3 years. This is the second win for our community, and we have a lot of areas in our city that are underserved with great public spaces. So thank you for your tenacity. Thanks to BDS and the whole team for their good work. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I also want to add my thanks to Transportation, Bureau of Development Services, Trust for Public Lands, Bureau of Environmental Services, Portland Parks and Recreation, all who played very key roles in this, in making this this great asset into a permanent open space and also some industrial property that really aims to contribute great to things we need both. We need more open space. We also need more industrial land, as we know. So this is a great win. Aye.
Hales.
Well, when we talked about this last time, I kind of semi-flippantly, but with some seriousness behind it, called it a land use miracle, that what was a big head-on collision turned into this very positive outcome. Just sitting here, you know, going through these procedures as we take these actions today, and I think it's also, in a way, kind of a public process miracle, if I can use that term twice. You know, we've been at this now for about 40 years in Oregon of having comprehensive land use planning, understanding of how the process works, although that's changed over time. We now have a new wrinkle of a new mitigation formula, and a deliberate effort by the city of Portland to foster neighborhood engagement through neighborhood associations. And here we are 40 years downstream in a complex land use case where a constructive applicant with a public purpose in mind, maybe not the typical development, but a constructive applicant with a public purpose in mind, a neighborhood association with volunteers that want to learn, negotiate, get to an outcome that's positive for the neighborhood, and city staff working, you know, to engage everyone in the decision-making process, looks to me like success. Looks to me like people are still making this now 40-year-old system work and adapt to new realities. One of the new realities is the engagement of a nonprofit organization like Trust for Public Lands in this role. And I want to second what Commissioner Fish said. We need you, TPL. We need what you are doing for our community and for our state and for other places around the country. So thank you for persevering and getting to a wonderful outcome. And thank you all for participating in continuing this success story of how we work between community and development and public infrastructure to get to this kind of solution. Well done. Aye. And on the ordinance as amended.
Novick?
Well, first of all, consistent with what everybody's just said, I really hope that all of you can help out with resolving a land use issue we have in West Hayden Island. I think that this team can make sure that everybody, you know, comes to an agreement on that. Second, I want to thank the mayor for refraining this time from insulting the Pine Barrens Protection Act of 1993. At our last meeting, the mayor said that perhaps the words land use and miracle had never been used in the same sentence, and I had to gently remind him that the Pine Barrens Protection Act had been referred to as a land use miracle. So thank you, Mr. Mayor, and I'm very pleased to vote aye.
Fritz.
Commissioner, if you just listen to Parks, we'll do just fine on West Hayden Island. Thank you again for all of your good work. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Hales.
Thank you. Aye. Okay. Well done.